Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. I'm joined by UW Parkside Dean of the College of Arts and Humanities, Dr. Leslie Wall. Leslie, some exciting news coming up in the world of UW Parkside Theater. Tell us a little bit about Boswell, the production, and the fact that we're going to be seeing that, have the opportunity to see that here at UW Parkside July 27th. And then the production is going to Scotland for the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh. A very exciting opportunity for the university, isn't it?
Yes, this is an amazing opportunity for, first and foremost, our students who will be taking part in this month-long adventure, and as well as a group of supporters of theater here at Parkside and our community. Our community will get a chance to see this play, now called Boswell, on July 27th at 4:30. And the show will be in rehearsal here all month long. We have four actors from the Milwaukee theater scene, four well-known actors, one of whom happens to be our very own Brian Gill, who will be in the starring role of Boswell.
Tell us, how did this opportunity come about for the university? Where did it start?
Well, it started probably back already in 2016. One of the strengths of the theater department at UW Parkside is that our faculty are very well networked. And it's thanks to these networks that we're able to give extraordinary opportunities to our students. So back, so Brian actually starred in Boswell back in 2005. So the play was written, and it was titled Boswell's Dreams.
Okay.
And Marie Kohler wrote it back probably 2003, 2004, and then Brian was cast in it as the lead. And the play was extremely well received at that time. I believe, and again, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that Marie Kohler won the Best Dramatist Award in Milwaukee that year. I think it's 2005 or approximately.
I think that's right, that there was an award that she received, Milwaukee Magazine Award.
Correct.
For that work, correct.
Right. So clearly that's when Brian and Marie Kohler met. I mean, I'm not sure if it's for the first time, because Brian did work in the theater world in Milwaukee until he moved to Chicago. And so that would have been their first connection over 10 years ago. But we were very lucky to have an opening in our theater department 4 years ago. And we hired Brian full time in our department as our acting instructor. And I'm thinking we hired him in fall of 2016. And we have what's called the Fresh Ink series. And that's when we take new and exciting plays and do a staged reading. And Brian had the great idea of reprising Boswell. And Marie Kohler rewrote it, kind of honed it. She'd had, you know, kind of 10 years to kind of think about it. And so she rewrote it then. And I think when she started rewriting it, she had this itch to actually go farther with it. And it was even at that point that she thought that maybe she could take it to the Fringe Festival. So this was, the rewrite was 2016, and I think that she started kind of working behind the scenes to see if she could make that happen.
Now, Marie Kohler also involved with the writer of Midnight in Moll Flanders, which Parkside put on last year.
Correct.
And that was also taken to the Kennedy Center competition.
Correct.
And was that another... because of the relationship with Brian Gill, is that how that comes about?
Right. And so another play called Midnight in Moll Flanders, and that is based on the Daniel Defoe novel of the same, well, it's of Moll Flanders, the famous early 18th century novelist. And so the nice thing about Moll Flanders is it's got a relatively large cast. So we were able to, we did a full production of it in the fall of 2018, and then it went to the Kennedy Center American College Theater Festival.
You notice I didn't try to do all those. I stopped at
Kennedy Center. ACTF.
Yeah.
And so I've been here for 4 years, and I can get that out
now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was one of about 30 plays that were entered in the competition, and there were five selected to compete there.
Yeah.
And they just did a bang-up job. And so I think it was on the strength of that work that she'd done with our students, because she'd already worked, remember, with Boswell's Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But then she had this opportunity to work yet again with our students. And I think it's there that sort of the relationship really congealed. And Marie Kohler started talking to me. The theater department started talking to me about how can we make a collaboration possible.
Sure. So if she has that in her first experience, if she walks away going, well, that was fun, good, but maybe doesn't have that level of confidence or interest or being impressed, then Boswell probably doesn't happen here. But there's some, her interaction with faculty, students, staff here at UW Parkside, obviously motivated her to want to continue to work with us.
Right. And she got to see our whole team.
Mm-hmm.
When we do the staged readings, it's a real limited experience, because what happens is the students get the script a week to 10 days before, and they rehearse three or four times, and then it's go, showtime.
Sure.
So you just get a chance to see student actors, you know, what kind of chops they have, what they can do, but it's really condensed and it's really quick.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no staging, there's no costumes, there's no lighting. So what Marie was able to see when we did Moll Flanders was the breadth of what mm-hmm. we're able to do here at UW Parkside in terms mm-hmm. of theater.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, we had two lighting students picked to go to the national competition at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C.
Right.
So,
I mean,
we're really proud of what our students can do.
Yeah. What are you expecting or kind of what are you looking forward to in terms of the folks being here at UW Parkside and doing the rehearsals in preparation for Boswell?
Well, I mean, I think, again, I'm going to talk about the students first, because those are, you know, that's my raison d'etre, right? My raison d'etre is to ensure our students get a fabulous education and then have extraordinary opportunities when they graduate from Parkside.
Mm-hmm.
So from the student perspective, what they're going to get is they're going to get, you know, essentially the opportunity to work with professional actors for over 2 months.
Yeah. Wow.
So this is just, you know, so the two student actors are going to get that possibility, and that's Kyle Rakas and Christian Leskowski
right.
is the other student. And actually, she was one of the Molls in Moll Flanders.
Oh, okay.
And so in any case, the students are going to get this opportunity to work with these professionals, professional director, professional playwrights.
Right.
They, and the two students that are going to be doing the stage work are also going to have that opportunity to work in a professional environment.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be here for a month, and it'll be fun to have this quality of theatrical work working in our theater in July. We typically don't have a lot of because it's our summer holiday,
right,
we don't
right.
have a lot of activity going on in the black box in the summertime. So it's going to be fun to have these folks on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be, so they will be here for a month. And then on the 27th, they will do a sort of a dress rehearsal, but they'll do the kind of first performance.
Yeah.
And that we invite the community to come out. It's everybody, anybody that wants to see it. We will do it as a ticketed event just to make sure we have seats for everybody, but free.
Sure.
And after the performance, we're also going to do a reception and a Q&A with Marie Kohler and the actors.
Wow.
So it's going to be just a great opportunity for the community in Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee
mm-hmm.
to come on out and see this amazing collaboration.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about, you need to have a ticket because of the fact that you don't want 600 people showing up for the black box, which seats about 100-ish.
Well, it's about 150.
Yeah, 150. Yeah. How do people go about getting one of those tickets? And again, the performance is scheduled for July 27th. don't know the day right off the top of my
head. That's a Saturday, and it's at 4:30.
Saturday at 4:30 p.m. with the reception following. How does somebody go about
getting a ticket? Just call our box office, or you can do it online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So we can make that available online, or just, like I say, call the box office, and we can just be sure that we just have the correct count. We don't have too many people, or if we would get fortunate enough to sell out.
Right. And how are we able, maybe not I might be not prepared for this question, but how are we able to offer this at no cost to the community?
Well, I have to say that it is thanks to philanthropic gifts to the university.
Okay.
Our community, and it's we have been able to participate. We are one of the collaborators with this project. It's Marie Kohler Productions, but we are one of the partners. And it's thanks to private gifts to the university that we are able to support this kind of activity.
Hmm. And for people like myself, who up until about 4 or 5 weeks ago had never heard of the Fringe Festival, sorry to admit that.
Wow.
But describe for us, what is the Fringe Festival?
Okay, well, the Fringe Festival, and again, don't quite quote me on this, but it's been in existence for, I'm going to say, over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it is probably the biggest arts festival certainly in Europe. And it lasts for just a little bit over 3 weeks. And there are about 3,000 performances.
Wow.
So you start from sun up to sundown, you can see some kind of performance. So that starts typically at 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and it will go to the wee hours of the morning.
Wow.
And it's everything from experimental theater, lots of young emerging and up-and-coming theater groups and actors, some stalwart people that you might have heard of, as well as musical performances and pop-up art galleries. So the city of Edinburgh gets just filled to the gills with arts and music and theater.
Wow.
And the other great thing about it is everything is very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $15 usually a show.
Mm-hmm.
I would say on average. As I mentioned in the beginning, I'm taking 8 or 9 patrons of Parkside Theater are going to go with me. I will be there for a week. And the first thing that we'll do when we get there on a Tuesday, and Tuesday afternoon, we're going to go see Boswell. So that'll be the first thing that we'll do upon arriving. But I've also arranged for us to do a few other things, and everything that we've kind of paid for, it costs between 11 and 15 pounds.
Yeah,
so
that is affordable.
Right. It's just very affordable. It's going to be exciting. For our students that are going to be there, it's going to be this extraordinary opportunity for them to get a very current art education. They're going to see what's going on in the artistic world, from music to theater to art, in those 3 weeks that they're there.
Yeah.
They'll also, might be able to pick up some work along the way,
Oh, okay.
Either passing out flyers or getting a little chance to perform here or there.
Sure.
So they'll also have that opportunity to do a little hustling when they're in Edinburgh. Although theoretically, or actually legally, they can't work in Europe.
Oh, okay. So they can't work in Europe, but they can.
They can,
because of
they can work
production.
With us. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. And the venue, they're talking about a 1590s historic theater, Riddle's Court. Have you seen this, been there, photos?
I have not yet. I have seen it on the website, and it looks fabulous. It's an old townhouse is what it is, been converted into a theater. So, and it's on what they call the Royal Mile, which is, again, a very old and ancient part of Edinburgh, leading up to the famous castle on the hill, right? That in Edinburgh, you've got that iconic castle.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It's got to be incredibly I would think you're extremely excited.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be, I love theater. I mean, obviously, I'm Dean of the College of Arts and Humanities, and I love theater. I love art. I love music. So it's going to be a great opportunity for me. And it's going to be really fun to see how it's going to be fun to see this this project to fruition, right? So
right.
It's going to be really a lot of fun to see what the students can do, to hear their reactions. We'll also have a meal with the cast and crew as part of this group that I'm leading. So we'll get the inside scoop to how it's been and what their experiences are as well.
Yeah, and the fact that people in the Racine, Kenosha, Waukegan, Milwaukee, whatever communities, have the chance to see this right here at Parkside before they go over. That's incredible.
Yeah. Take this journey with us, and then we'll be doing all kinds of social media. So we'll invite everybody to follow us as the adventure continues in Scotland.
Right. And I noticed that Jody Sekas is working on set design for Boswell.
Right.
Right now, Jody is is running around somewhere in Door County,
right.
Working with the Shakespeare Theater, and doing that. It must make you very proud as dean of the college to see not only someone like a Jody Sekas, but other faculty members who are they're in demand. Right?
Absolutely,
people want us to come and work with them.
Right. Yeah. So I would say all of our theater instructors are working in one form or another in a professional capacity this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also mention Misty Bradford. Misty Bradford is our costume and a makeup designer here at Parkside. And Misty is working in a variety of venues too. And she will be doing the costumes for Boswell in the same way that Jody's doing. Jody Sekas is doing the props and the projection, actually. There's going to be some projection going on with Boswell.
Mm, okay. And besides the faculty that are involved with things, a majority of theater students are involved in some type of internship summer work, correct?
Right. Yeah, our students are all throughout the country. They're in Michigan at Hope College at a civic theater there. They're in North Carolina. They're in Las Vegas. They are in Minnesota. Several students are in Wisconsin at the American Players Theater as well. So, yeah, so we typically, a lot of our students, if not most of them, get summer internships for community or civic theaters throughout the Midwest. And even going out I believe we've got someone at the Oregon Theater, or at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival as well. So so they get great opportunity. And then, of course, this opportunity at the Fringe Festival this summer is kind of the real cherry on the top of the sundae.
Right.
For those students, yeah.
What about some of the things going on this summer and leading into the fall in the other areas in the college, in music and art? What are some of the highlights that you can share with us?
Stuff that's coming up. I guess I'll mention that we were just excited. We just finished an amazing month-long adventure with China.
Yeah.
And Zhonghan University. The students that went to Wuhan, China, and who sang two concerts have just come back.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very excited about that.
Right.
This summer we have AKU. We're going to have high school kids throughout Wisconsin and Northern Illinois. We'll be here the week after the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be here learning how to do from 8th grade to 12th grade, Acapella University.
Right.
We also have the, it's the Wisconsin Choir Directors.
Right.
We'll also be here for a week in July.
Yeah.
So July is a busy month for us as we get ready for the next year. I think one of the interesting things that we're kind of putting together this year, and it's something that we haven't done before, is we are working with with our athletics department, because we're doing a series of art exhibits and art installations around art and sports this fall. So that's a kind of something that you don't hear all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're doing, that should be a very interesting collaboration and something that if you think about the sports world, right, if you and you think about how, of course, everything is visual, everything is digital, everything is video.
Yeah.
So kind of to think about the sort of representation of sports from, I mean, you know, we can go as far back as, you know, the Olympics and you know, and the history of race in the United States. I mean, sports and representation are intimately entwined.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be thinking about that this fall in our galleries.
Mm-hmm.
We're also very happy to have just booked the first mariachi band composed all of women. They formed their band a year ago, and they're called the Sirenas,
okay,
the Mariachi Sirenas,
mm-hmm,
and that means mermaids or sirens in English.
Okay.
And so they're going to be here to help us celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month.
Okay.
So they'll be one of the noon concerts coming.
Yeah.
So those are a few highlights from the coming fall. Our female mariachi art and sports, and then we'll continue with our noon concert series, which has lots of. I think we're going to do some klezmer. We are also bringing an all women's quintet of brass players.
Hmm.
I think. So my associate dean has told me, it says, this might be the year of the woman in the College of Arts and Humanities, because it seems that we're booking lots of things where you typically, if you think of a, you know, brass, you often think of musicians are often men, right?
Right.
So this quintet, and it's led by a woman, I believe she's a French horn player, and she actually is a graduate from Tremper.
Mm.
So that's another group that we're going to have in to work with the schools and also do a noon concert. Sometime, I'm going to say, at the end of September, they'll be here.
Right.
And I don't have their name on the top of my head.
And we're still, and we continue, even though the summer semester, a little bit less activity going on at Parkside, although it sometimes seems like it doesn't slow down very much. But still doing the work with the Fireside Theater.
Oh, absolutely. Right, right. Yeah, no, that build goes on, you know, rain or shine, all summer long. And in fact, we have four high school students. That's one interesting thing about that, because our college students are out. We want them out doing these internships at various civic and community theaters throughout the country. Every year, we hire four high school students to come in and to work with the Fireside Dinner Theater. So they get that amazing opportunity, and they're here for 6 weeks. It's room and board, and we pay them. So parents have got to be happy to hear about that.
Yeah,
it's a great summer job.
Right, right. And in the College of Arts and Humanities, in addition to art and theater and music, we've also done a lot of talking this year about the Digital Design and Fabrication Lab,
right,
which goes almost in a very completely sort of different direction than the musical performance or the theater performance, but yet to be able to show that interconnectivity between art, design, and some of the things that you might even look at and say, well, that's manufacturing. There's a CNC machine. Tell us about how that came about.
Right. So, one of the challenges that one faces as one kind of either works in higher education or wants to be a student in a College of Arts and Humanities, you have that sort of cultural question that's sort of everywhere. That's like, well, what kind of job are you going to get, right? Everybody's worried about a student who wants to be an art major and wonders, is there, what happens when you graduate?
Right.
And so I've taken that question seriously, as has my entire college. And so what our response to parents and to the culture at large is that we believe in, and we believe ardently in, the long tradition of arts and sciences, and that our students, and that there is still a lot of good reason to know your Beethoven and your Beowulf and your Bach. But on top of that traditional education, we're also layering a 21st century skills, right? And these 21st century skills have everything to do with the digital. They have everything to do, and ultimately, with the visual as well, right?
Right.
And then probably the millennials too, because the millennials and Generation Z, they like to make things.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the characteristics of our college is our emphasis on production. Mm-hmm. We want to have everybody produce something in one form or another. So if you're in the communication department, you can graduate with skills in digital and media production,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, maybe you know how to use a camera. Maybe you know how to do a podcast. But in other words, you can produce a cultural object.
Right.
And it's these objects, whether it's a podcast or whether it's a set, whether it's eyewear, that our economy needs.
Right.
Needs people that can make these kinds of objects.
Yeah.
And so it's very cross-disciplinary, but it's also the kind of way in which when people talk about our students being digital natives, I mean, they come in with, they're kind of bathed in this language and this world already.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to make sure that they get professional skills,
right?
They're going to be, we're not just going to turn on our iPhone and let it roll, but we're going to know how to edit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how to shape a story and what that means. I mean, stories have been told in the same way since Homer. We still, those principles that Homer knew, we abide by, and yet we're telling them visually and we're telling them with different kinds of technology.
Right.
So that's how we're marrying the old traditional classic arts and humanities with the modern and up-to-date and career-enhancing skills.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like, and you touched on it just real briefly before, but the visual aspect of our society where you look around and there's almost nothing that doesn't have some level of design to it.
Right.
That's been thought out. It's
mm-hmm.
been, whether it's, like you said, eyewear or whether it's something that is, it's the Nespresso in the kitchen or someone has designed this to look very appealing or attractive or whatever word, you know, that you want to use there. But, that's what the generations that follow, that continue, will need to know how to blend those things.
Right. And that sort of sense that form meets function, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this kind of sense of, again, our classical education in art can teach us about how humans have visualized their world from, you know, the caves of the Neanderthals in Lascaux, France, right? From that kind of visualization. And then how do we use the modern technologies to make those images,
right?
And how do we bring together those traditions with the new stuff that we want to make and use?
Mm-hmm.
Again, whether it's eyewear, or it could be, I mean, you know, just like you said, everything from any consumer object that you touch has been designed at some point.
Yeah.
And there's also a space for art and science to meet
mm-hmm.
as well, because this is, you know, CNC stands for computer numeric control.
Mm-hmm.
And numeric is about the binary, right? Numeric is the zero and the whatever, you know, the binary or the X.
Yeah.
And so that's all about math. That's all about what you do in computer science. So, you know, kids that are good at, you know, good in those kinds of things, we want to invite them over to our part of the world too.
Mm-hmm.
So they can bring those kinds of technical skills to bear. We can help them with their with the creative aspect of problem solving.
Right. Well, Leslie, it's been a pleasure to have you on Parkside today, and we've covered a lot of topics. I mean, certainly the things going on in your college, from choirs going to China to perform, and theater faculty and students going to Scotland, and I've learned more about the Fringe Festival. Thank you.
My pleasure.
For performing there in Scotland, and things that are coming up this fall, the Noon Concert Series, which is always extremely popular with the communities. There's just a lot of things going on in the College of Arts and Humanities.
Yeah, and that's why I love my job.
Well, it's been a pleasure to be talking with Dr. Leslie Walker, Dean of the UW Parkside College of Arts and Humanities. And to hear past Parkside Today shows, please visit uwp.edu/parksidetoday. And that Parkside Today is all one word. Thanks for listening.